News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, listen, let's turn back to President Donald Trump. He has said that the US will take over Gaza and make it the Riviera of the Middle East. David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief of The Guardian, joined us. David, you were actually at that press conference. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it was pretty astonishing. Donald Trump standing there alongside Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister. And suddenly Trump reiterated his view that we'd heard a bit of already, that he thinks Palestinians should leave Gaza permanently and find places to live in other countries, such as Egypt or Jordan, which the leaders of those countries are not at all enthusiastic about. But then he surprised us further by saying that the US would actually take over Gaza and own it, as he put it, and work on clearing up the rubble from the devastation of 16 months of war between Israel and Hamas militants, and then develop it into something beautiful where people could live. And when he was asked, well, you know, who actually would live there, he replied, world people. Slightly mysterious answer. There was otherwise very little specific detail, but there's been a torrent of criticism about this, really suggesting that his idea for a Riviera of the Middle East is really tantamount to ethnic cleansing of Palestinians.
Is this about giving a political lifeline to Benjamin Netanyahu?
It may be. I mean, they were certainly very cozy, and Netanyahu praised Trump as the greatest president for Israel that's ever been in the White House. And Trump returned the compliment. Anything that is seen as offering progress and strengthening Netanyahu's hand in the region might come in useful for him. I mean, it's such a dramatic shift from Joe Biden, who was by the end somewhat more sceptical of Netanyahu over this relentless bombing campaign in Gaza. I think Trump is sending signals that he's fully supportive of whatever Netanyahu wants to do.
Donald Trump also reinstated his maximum pressure campaign, warning Tehran it would be obliterated if it tries to assassinate him. What did you make of his comments on Iran?
Yeah, and he was adamant Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon was the biggest point he was making. And, you know, he also talked about his respect for the Iranian people and what a great civilization it is, and his hope that some common ground can be found. Netanyahu at this press conference said that he and Trump do see eye to eye on the issue. Based on everything we know, not a great surprise. Trump has always identified Iran as a key enemy and adversary. He's been particularly critical of the Iran nuclear deal that the Obama administration struck, and that Trump, of course, killed during his first term, and that came up again.
Just before we let you go, David, just on a separate issue, a Republican Congresswoman, Nancy Mace, has also revealed kind of overnight that President Trump is to sign an executive order banning transgender girls and women from taking part in female sporting events at schools and universities.
Yes, this has been a big talking point in the culture wars on the Republican side. We heard a lot about it from Donald Trump during the election campaign last year. And, I was at some of the rallies when he, even in passing, would mention this idea of banning transgender athletes from girls' sports. A huge cheer would go up. It was really popular with the base. This is despite the fact that actually the exact number of transgender athletes taking part in school sports is unknown in the US. More than half the states already have policies to stop them from competing. But time and time again, when politicians are asked about this, they really struggle to give specific examples of trans athletes in their home states. So the whole thing does smack a bit of a moral panic, and something that's whipped up to antagonize parents, and but it proved effective for Trump in the election. The whole sort of transgender rights issue seemed to mobilize support for him.
We'll leave it there. David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief of The Guardian, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.
And staying with all things President Trump, we're joined now by Scott Lucas, Professor of US and International Politics at the Clinton Institute in University College Dublin. Scott, I hardly know where to start. Your reaction to, I suppose, the shots being fired by Donald Trump on all things Middle East over the last 24 to 48 hours?
David Smith, who you just interviewed, has a brilliant portrayal in The Guardian of the absurdity, the ignorance, and the sheer inhumanity of those statements by Donald Trump alongside Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm angered about it, but I think if, as an analyst, let's cut to the chase here. What people haven't appreciated yet is that what Trump said effectively rules out a phase two of the ceasefire in Gaza, which has at least meant that lives have been saved over the last 3 weeks, that hostages have gone back to Israel, that detainees have gone back, been released and gone back to Gaza, and that some people have gone back to their homes. Because to get a phase two, what you would have to have is an acceptance that Gazans not only can remain in Gaza, you know, rebuilding their homes, rebuilding their lives, but that you have Palestinians governing them, not Israelis, not U.S. troops. And what Trump has done is absolutely, you know, only a few weeks after taking credit for phase one of the ceasefire, he shattered any hope of getting that phase two. And when phase one ends...
You would imagine if he means what he says, Scott. And do you believe in this instance that he does, that he is looking for the resettlement of Gaza? He is looking for some kind of American colonialism in that part of the world. You know, what he's describing has a term, and it's called ethnic cleansing.
Yes, I do believe it. Now, I don't know if Trump thinks of it as ethnic cleansing, but Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, has said and referred to Gaza as being prime waterfront property for development. Donald Trump, when he was talking about getting a peace settlement with North Korea, talked about how North Korea was a prime area with great land for resorts, including, by the way, Trump Towers. Donald Trump looks at Gaza as a place for businesses like his own, but he looks at a place of that for businesses for own, for people who will spend money there and not the local population. Even if he doesn't think of it as ethnic cleansing, though, however, what has happened here is that Israeli ministers who do think of this as ethnic cleansing and have called for this, like Mr. Ben-Gvir, the former national security minister, who's still supporting the government, and the finance minister, Mr. Smotrich, they now have support for their position. So Benjamin Netanyahu is boxed in. He cannot go against the Trump proposal. He effectively is now effectively will have to bow down to the hard right. And of course, the hard right do not want a phase two ceasefire. They want to return to war.
True. Can I ask a brief last question, Scott, with regard to now Middle East tensions and relations with the Arab nations? He's obviously suggested that Egypt and Jordan would take Palestinians. They have said no. And indeed, all of the Arab states appear to be rejecting roundly any suggestion of the resettlement of Gaza or Palestinians being forced off their own lands. And indeed, everything he has said about Iran as well over the last 24 hours. Where are relations now in the Middle East in a sort of a geopolitical sense?
Everybody is going to try to protect themselves against the fallout from what Donald Trump may do. Iran will continue. Iran will not get a nuclear weapon. They're going to continue to hold open the options of trying to flatter Trump and get talks with him because they have severe internal problems. But the other Gulf states, remember the talk was they would normalize relations with Israel, the Abraham Accords? That will not happen. There's no way that will happen when you are actually not even looking at a Palestinian state, but you're going to ethnically cleanse Palestine. We're in a position which is going to be at best tension and at worst a return to mass killing in Gaza itself sooner rather than later.
Look, thank you very much for joining us. That is Scott Lucas, their professor of US and international politics at the Clinton Institute in UCD.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.